Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Mike Murat, and we are in our 20th study in the book of Deuteronomy. And today we come to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 20. And Father, we pray and ask that our hearts are good ground today, that we would hear your word and understand your word, and that your word would bear fruit in our lives 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 20. God is speaking through Moses to the Israelites before they enter the promised land. And it says in verse 20, "When the Lord your God enlarges your border as he has promised you, and you say, let me eat meat because you long to eat meat, you may eat as much meat as your heart desires." And that would be a real treat for the Israelites, because in the wilderness they had to eat their manna, but they had very little meat to eat because they really didn't have much livestock, and the livestock they did have they had to keep for milk and cheese and butter and all that sort of thing. But once they settle down and God causes their herds and flocks to grow, well, then they can have as much meat as they want. Nothing wrong with being a meat eater, by the way. That is perfectly fine with Almighty God. Verse 21, "If the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, then you may slaughter from your herd and from your flock, which the Lord has given you, just as I have commanded you, and you may eat within your gates as much as your heart desires." And just because sheep and cows were used in sacrifices at the temple, that doesn't mean that the Israelites couldn't butcher one at home and eat it as a common meal. God is saying, you can do that. Verse 22, "Just as the gazelle and the deer are eaten, so you may eat them. The unclean and the clean alike may eat them." Now, if a person was ceremonially unclean, say they touched a dead body, or they had an unusual issue of blood, they were unclean, ceremonially unclean, they couldn't partake of holy sacrifices until they went through a cleansing ritual. However, they could have a steak, or they could have some lamb chops, or they could have a beef roast, or some other kind of meat at home. God not only has to prohibit us from doing wrong, sometimes he has to assure us of things that are okay. And that's what he's doing here. And the reason he has to do that is because people who love God might be harder on themselves than they need to be, or feel guilt when there's no need to feel guilt. 23, "Only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life. You may not eat the life with the meat." Life depends on blood. The Bible is clear when it says that life belongs to God. Life depends on blood. Circulation of blood begins in a tiny fetus. It begins at the beginning of life, and it stops when the body dies. Life depends on blood. Blood cut off from the heart equals heart attack and death. Blood cut off from the brain means stroke. Blood cut off from an arm or a leg means it goes numb. Life depends on blood. Blood carries life. And since we are not to eat anything, any animal that is living, according to God's word, the blood must be removed before that meat can be eaten. Until the blood is gone, there is a sense, in which the animal still has life in it. Verse 24, "You shall not eat it. You shall pour it on the earth like water. And so no blood may be consumed either by itself or in the meat." pour it out, God says. Let it seep into the ground so that there's no chance of it being retrieved and used. 25. You shall not eat it, that it may go well with you and your children after you, when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord. It will go well with them, because obedience to God is the right thing to do. It will go well with them also, talking about not consuming blood, because of all the impurities that are in blood. Consuming blood is like drinking a cesspool, and it will not go well with anyone who does that. So God says, don't do it. Follow my commands, that command and my other commands, and it'll go well with you. Listen to me. I know how I have put you together, and I know what will work. And that's the reason, one of the reasons for his commands. 26. Only the holy things which you have and your vowed offerings you shall take and go to the place which the Lord chooses. And again, the place of offerings is mentioned, but not named, not yet. There was a prescribed way to prepare and to deliver an offering to God in the Old Testament. And that's one of the reasons for the one official place of offerings and the trained priests and Levites who ministered there. They were professionals. They knew how to do it, and it needed to be done right. People could not worship God any old way they felt like it. And even today, it is important to worship God, the Bible says, in spirit and in truth. In other words, it is not right to try to worship God by doing something that is unbiblical. Verse 27. And you shall offer your burnt offerings, the meat and the blood, on the altar of the Lord your God. And the blood of your sacrifices shall be poured out on the altar of the Lord your God, and you shall eat the meat. There was an offering, one particular offering. It was called the peace offering. And part of this peace offering was burnt on the altar by the temple. The other part was actually enjoyed by the person who offered it. It was sort of like a fellowship meal between God and the offerer. That's why it was called a peace offering. It didn't have anything to do with sin. And the offerer could eat the meat, as God said here, but the blood, again, had to be drained and poured out on the altar. Verse 28. Observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. Now, God says it's going to go well with you if you do what is good and right in the sight of God. And what's good and right in God's eyes is to keep his commands. That is what is good. That is what is right. To keep his commands. You know, those things that are being removed from public places all over America. Yeah, those commands. The ones that are being torn down and removed from the sight of the public by our government. Yeah, those commands. God says, it'll go well with you if you keep those. Verse 29. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land. Verse 30. Take heed to yourself, that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. God says, do not investigate the idolatrous practices of the people that you are dispossessing, Israel. You know, one thing often leads to another. And so God says, don't be curious about the sinful deeds of the wicked who are losing that land because of their extreme wickedness. Curiosity might get the best of Israel, and before long, they're into the sin themselves. And so some things should be stayed away from completely, even today. Verse 31. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. And now you see why God destroyed those Canaanite civilizations from off the face of the earth. If you've ever wondered why God drove those people out of that land and gave it to Israel, now you have part of the answer. They were full of evil, refused to repent beyond redemption, and even in their religious offerings to their so-called gods, they murdered their own children. Verse 32, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it or take away from it. In other words, obey God's word exactly the way it has been given. That'll be enough. If you do that, God is saying, do not add the customs and the religious rites of the heathen to your life. And he's also saying, do not take away anything that God commands. Just stick to the Holy Scriptures and everything will be fine. Let's go into chapter 13. Verse 1. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and this would be a false prophet, one who pretends to be sent from God, one who says, I have a new word from the Lord, I have a revelation from God. God says, if a person like that comes along, and even if he does an amazing miracle to confirm his so-called mission from God, notice verse 2, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. In other words, God says, if this so-called prophet says, I am from the Lord, and here is a miracle to prove it, now do this and do that, which are clearly contrary to the word of the Lord. I'm telling you to do this and do that. It's clearly contrary to the Holy Scripture. But here's a miracle to prove that I'm from God. God says this in verse 3, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You know, miracles prove one thing. They prove there was a miracle. That's it. The devil can do miracles, and he can empower godly people to do them as well. The proof as to whether something is from God or not is how does it line up with Holy Scripture. And that's why I teach the entire Word of God, including a book like Deuteronomy, because it's all important. Most people would just totally skip over this book, but if you've been with us from the beginning, you know how rich it is. The Word of God is rich. And it's important to even study the book of Deuteronomy because the entire Word of God is the standard. And so, the lesson that God is trying to get across to us here in the first part of chapter 13 is, do not believe the words of a miracle worker if what he says contradicts the Holy Bible. He is a liar. He is from the devil. We'll stop here for today. Until next time, this is Mike Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse, reminding you to stay in the Word and stay in prayer. Until next time, so long, everyone.